You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is the plague at all a threat in the modern day?
No.
The Wire.
Crypto investment schemes are spreading across the Pacific, often through trusted family, church, and community networks. While they are promoted as offering financial freedom and fast returns, regulators have warned that some schemes carry serious risks and limited protections for investors. I spoke with Associate Dean Pacific Sione Tofa about how trust can be exploited in Pacific communities, why endorsement matters, and what people should know before investing. Now, to start broadly, what is happening with crypto investment schemes across the Pacific at the moment?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of crypto schemes come into the Pacific, and it's driven by what's happening in the US and overseas here in New Zealand as well. But it's starting to move into the Pacific, and it's a little bit concerning how they're targeting people, especially when some of these islands like Samoa, like Tonga, have actually come out, their reserve banks have come out and said, this is a scam, please do not interact with it. But we're seeing a lot more and more people not just falling for it, but also signing up for these schemes.
And why are these schemes becoming so visible in these Pacific communities?
I think it's because obviously, with crypto not quite regulated at the moment, and we can see it in some of the spaces in the US, here in New Zealand, we don't quite have the regulation for it, so it's more of a free-for-all. But in the Pacific, it's the allure of you just give us a little bit of money, we can 10x that, or we can double that, or we can make it three times in a short space of time. And that get-rich sort of like idea is always something that the communities want to do, because when you have nothing and somebody offers you a better opportunity, people usually go for it.
Now, you said the issue is not simply technology but risk as well. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I teach accounting and finance at the business school, and we know that the higher the risk, the higher the reward. So, for example, you have things like Lotto, and the risk of the Lotto gives you a high reward if you win, but it's a higher risk whether you actually get it or not. You have a higher risk of losing your money. So, when these crypto, so in a similar vein, when crypto promoters come to the Pacific and they talk about what you're going to get out of it after a period of time, or majority of people who don't quite get that risk only think about the reward. But when you think about something and it's probably too good to be true, it probably is. But we don't associate the risk with it. We just think, I give you my money, and in a couple of weeks or a month, I withdraw. There is no calculation of risk involved there anyway, and that's what we want our communities to take note of, that money is not free. There's always risk involved in some of these schemes, and even investment, and even some spaces like banks. So the risk of a bank is probably low, but then the reward from a savings or a term deposit is also low. So they've got to weigh that or take that into account when they make these decisions.
And you've mentioned that promoters associating themselves with respected public figures and community leaders or government officials, how can that affect the people's perception of the legitimacy of these schemes?
When you come from the Pacific, and especially here in New Zealand, because we might be big, but we're still a really big village, it's all about relationships. It's all about the people you trust. And it's the visibility that actually matters. And if they take a picture of you with, let's say, a pastor, or they take a picture of you with a minister or so, that visibility is usually taken as some sort of endorsement. And we can see it in Samoa at the moment, because some of these promoters have taken pictures with government officials and government ministers, and government has come out, I think it was yesterday, to sort of like condemn that they know they are not promoting this, because people can take it the wrong way, because it's all about the relationships and the people you trust. And the more built in their trust, the more likely you are to invest or fall or go with some sort of scheme. Because if you think about our people, we only deal with people we trust, and they could be our uncle, or they could be the pastor, or they could be our family friend who we trust far more than any financial expert that you have no prior relationship with.
And how do you think that that social pressure and those relationships play into influencing people into joining these schemes?
It does play a lot, especially when we look at some of these financial decisions. It's not taken as an individual, it's more about the collective as well. But I think the key thing here is the amount of education or letting people know about risk and reward. Where do they make their money? Where does the scheme actually, or the financial growth comes from, or their business model revenue streams come from? Because if you're not quite sure how they're going to increase the wealth of your money, then it's probably a pyramid scheme or a Ponzi scheme and so forth. So it's not just, yes, trusting them, but try and verify, but also have an idea that, yes, then I might get rich with this, but I also have a higher chance of losing my money or hard-earned cash if I go with this. So take into account that reward comes with risk. And I think once people understand the risk that is involved, they are much less likely to be taken for a ride with some of these schemes.
Is there a specific form that these crypto schemes take? Is there one structure that is definitely reoccurring within the space?
It's always flashy. The people show a platform, and it's usually just a platform of that particular promoter that shows, yeah, numbers going up or graphics and so forth. But it's not actually anything related to that, because they are not quite hooked up to, let's say, the financial markets and so forth. But I think the key idea is let them explain how they're going to increase their money. And if you feel like, is this good, too good to be true? It probably is. Ask yourselves, is this something, why is it that these people know that about these schemes and not a lot of people, well-known people around around the community are buying into it? And I think the key idea is that listen to the regulators, whether it's the Financial Markets Authority, whether it's Reserve Bank, because they know about this stuff. Heed to their advice. And just be careful. Just be careful, because we know because of poverty and because we want to help out, we want to increase our wealth. Everybody wants to do it, but that we don't fall into some of these schemes that might be worth a lot more trouble than they are.
Regulators, including New Zealand's Financial Markets Authority and Pacific Central Banks, have issued warnings about some of these schemes. Do you think these warnings are reaching the communities effectively?
Yes and no. At least, yes, in a sense that some of these countries are aware. No, in a sense that people still go for it, because they say, hey, I trust these people. And it's really hard sometimes to argue with a promoter when, let's say, the first people closer to the tip of the pyramid show up to those meetings with hard cash. And others and the naysayers say, oh, it's a Ponzi scheme or it's a pyramid scheme. And then the first people who invest say, no, it's not, because here, look at this, is $5,000 cash in hand that I come with. And it's really hard to argue against that. So what people don't know is that they just happen to be the first in the queue. And if I join and if others join, eventually it's going to collapse, because they're going to either run out of people or run out of money. But yeah, it's always difficult to argue against the perils of such promotions when people are coming in with cash in hand, but it's just that they're being paid first and not because it's a genuine scheme.
Finally, what is the main thing you want Pacific communities to understand about these schemes?
Understanding that there's risk. You don't just hand in money and expect to be paid in. And if you are going to hand in money, be prepared to take the risk that you might be losing that money as well. But don't just trust too easy. Ask a lot more questions. Crypto it's not about whether crypto is good or bad. The question is whether our people are entering these systems with genuine understanding. Do they have informed consent to give out their hard-earned cash, or whether they carry most of the risk while others actually benefit? So we can't afford to build financial futures on hype while others carry the consequence. So maybe think about that in regards to the conversations we need to have with our communities.
That was Associate Dean Pacific Sione Tofa speaking on how crypto investment schemes are spreading through trusted Pacific community networks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.